السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. وقد قال الله تعالى: وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, respected brothers, as you have been listening, also of course our sisters of Listen at the Madrasa and our receivers, as you have been hearing over the past couple of weeks, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatun lil alameen, so he did not leave out anything that was of benefit to mankind, but that he informed mankind. Not only for the Muslims, but especially for the Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Ummat-e-Ijabat, those who responded to his call. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's rahmat knew no bounds and no limits. So there was nothing that was of any value, of any benefit, but that he informed the Ummat. And anything that was going to cause harm, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed the Ummat. Then if you look at the du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we can see how much of rahmat is flowing in those du'as. That we would not have been able to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala the way Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us to ask. The kind of humility and submission that is required before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He being Nabi of Allah ta'ala, and not only Nabi but Sayyidul Anbiya, the master of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the leader of all the Anbiya. Look at the humility of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how humble and how he begs of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, teaching the ummah that this is how you should be begging of Allah ta'ala. And that Allah ta'ala does listen. It's just that it is Allah ta'ala's wisdom that sometimes he delays. Sometime Allah Ta'ala delays that which we are asking and begging of Him. He delays giving it to us. That does not mean that He is annoyed and displeased. There is great wisdom. Sometimes we are begging and asking of things that may not be of benefit to us. Or at that moment in time, if we are blessed with that ni'mat, then we may forget Allah Ta'ala altogether. The person is in difficulties and is asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to remove that difficulty, or bless him with so much of wealth. Now if he is given that same time, or the person has got some other needs, then he has come to the door of Allah Ta'ala because of those needs. If he did not require, or if he was not in need, if he was not in any kind of difficulty and problem, then he was not even interested in the door of the masjid. He was not interested in raising his hands and begging of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He was considering himself to be independent, that I have got everything in the world, why must I worry about Allah ta'ala? But when the difficulty came, the hardship came, then it brought him to the door of Allah ta'ala. So now Allah ta'ala prolongs, Allah ta'ala delays giving him what he is begging of, so that he may remain at his door. And for those who are pious and righteous, their begging of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increases their stages, elevates their position, brings them even more closer to Allah ta'ala. They were close, but it brings them even more closer. So Allah ta'ala knows best what is his hikmat and wisdom. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us different types of du'as. We expect just the Imam Sahib to make some du'a after Fajr, Asr and finish. Whereas we should be begging of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We should find opportunities, get down to begging of Allah ta'ala in seclusion. And the best time for that is the tahajjud time. At that time when everybody is fast asleep, some are fast asleep and some only get up at midnight. Many places, they say the city and the town comes to life after midnight or late at night. All the music and all the dramas and all the shows and all the nightclubs and cinemas and theatres and discos, generally they come to life after midnight or late at night. That's when they come to life. Now when they come to life, what they really do is deaden the hearts. When those shows and cinemas and theatres and discos and nightclubs come to life, the people who go there, visit those places, and especially if they are believers, they are Muslims, then what they come out from there is with dead hearts. So they come out from there with dead hearts, although the city came to life, the bazaars came to life. However, on the other hand, the Allahwalas, they also look forward to the night. They also look forward to the night, just as those people look forward to the night, to go to those disco cinemas and theatres and nightclubs. So the Allahwalas also look forward to that seclusion, that little bit of time, where there is no noise from the outside world to disturb the tranquility of their heart. Everybody is fast asleep. At that time it is no one but Allah and the person himself. He finds some corner of the house, places his musalla there. Apne malik se uth karke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke aabad kar. Apne malik se uth karke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke aabad kar. Dil ko noore taqwa se tu shad kar, nafs dushman hai dushman ko nashad kar. Apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar, get up, leave the warmth of the bed. Find a little bit of time with Allah and see what enjoyment you get in that dua, begging of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. After all the other noises have stopped, those bazaars and those cinemas and discos may be in the city somewhere far away, but generally in residential areas, everything quietens down at night. Besides a few dogs that may be engaged in some kind of mushaira, poetry, that one barks from this side and the other one from that side, but generally everything quietens down. At that time, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, look at his ihsan, look at his kindness, look at his mercy. 2/3 of the night is good. Person may be coming back home, still there's a bit of noise, because the children are still awake, there's supper to have, and there's still sometimes the Isha namaz to make, and after that he'll come back again, then again there may be some having a cup of tea or some talk and discussion, and some people are hooked on other evils. But the fact is, after all that, everybody just quietens down. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. At that time, this banda of Allah, when he says, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, then there is a kind of a bonding and an enjoyment with the rulers and the kings of the world, with all the oil wells, do not know. A And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala at that time, it is said that what it means is Allah Ta'ala's mercy descends. Like how on Laylatul Qadr we say, Laylatul Barat, Allah Ta'ala Himself comes down to the first heavens, meaning His rahmat, His mercy. He says, is there anybody seeking forgiveness that I may give him forgiveness? Is there anybody seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? Is there any person seeking this or that I may grant it to him? Allah Ta'ala Himself comes and says, is there any person? Oh my Banda, during the day you work very hard. If he's a pious person, he's a righteous person, doesn't mean he has to be a great waliullah. But even if he's a very poor person that had to work very, very hard, the person had to work very hard whole day just to earn halal livelihood. There are so many people who are poor. Their earning is just sufficient for their rent, light and water. And sometimes not even sufficient for that. But they make the salat, they make some zikr and tilawat, they fulfill the ahkam and laws of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, as if He says, oh my Banda, the whole day you worked. You made your namazes on time. You made your tilawat, you made your zikr. You fulfilled my ahkam and laws in your business, in your profession. You did not forget me wherever you were. Now I am here. What do you need? What do you see? One is that the king sends a message through somebody that I am thinking of you. That person, there is no limit to his happiness and excitement that the ruler of the country and he thought of me. And yet those rulers we can see these days, what is their position and power? What kind of power they have we can see, whether it is Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, all these places. But if some ruler of a country has to send a message, they beg of me, what do you need? This person will be proud, excited, joyous and happy. Ya Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying, is there any person seeking forgiveness and forgiveness? He is coming himself. That means his rahmat and mercy is descending. Therefore, apne malik se ut karke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke awaaz. Light up those hearts. In those places, cinemas, discos, theatres and zina and everywhere, the heart will go dead. And here the heart will become full of life. It is like how when Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam will blow the sur for the first time, everything will die. And when he's going to blow the sur for the second time, everything will come to life. Everybody will come to life again. So like that, this is like the blowing of the sur of Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam, that those hearts which were dead now suddenly come to life. When this person has got his forehead before Allah, or has got his hands raised before Allah, and he's begging from the depths of his heart. So these difficulties, trials and tests are intended for that, to bring the person closer to Allah Ta'ala. If he's a pious person, then it increases his stages and position. And if he's sinners like us, then it's a forgiveness of our sins, but it brings us to the door of Allah Ta'ala. Makes us beg even more of him and enjoy that closeness and enjoy that real happiness that the person gets when he's begging of Allah Ta'ala. The sweetness of that, the lazzat and enjoyment of that, the kings, as I said, do not know. Oh, if a person is blessed with the tawfiq of dua, then he is blessed with a very, very great ni'mat, which we are very much negligent of. We believe that must just read one dua and finish. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because of his love and kindness and mercy for the ummat, he thought different duas. In my safar and journey with my Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuhum in England, number of places he mentioned this dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said that make a habit of making this dua. Besides the other duas, he used to teach us like how we teach little children in the madrasas. Because of the shafqat and muhabbat. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jahdil bala. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jahdil bala. If you make in congregation, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min jahdil bala. ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. Look at the shafqat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. O Allah, I seek protection in you. From what? Jahdil bala. And it can also be read Jahdil bala. So Jahdil bala. The meaning of which is this. O Allah, I am seeking protection in you. From a kind of a bala, musibah, difficulty, hardship, pain, suffering, which makes the person seek nothing but mouth and death. That is very, very difficult test and trial, which makes the person thereafter seek death. He says, I just cannot take this, I rather die. How many people, they beg the doctors, please give me some injection so that I can go off to sleep forever. But they don't know that they will not sleep forever. There's another long journey after that. And the difficulties will increase. After difficulties and tests and trials, ab to ye kehte hain ki hum mar jayenge. Lekin mar ke bhi chain nahi aaya to phir kidhar jayenge. But how many places there are campaigns of the rights of a patient to demand euthanasia. They say it's his right. They want euthanasia. Active, passive, any kind of euthanasia as long as they go from this world. They can't take those difficulties anymore. So that's the kind of bala that this person is asking for protection. But, oh Allah, don't test us in any way. Don't send any kind of bala, any kind of test, any kind of trial, any kind of tribulation, any kind of difficulty, any kind of hardship, any kind of suffering, any kind of pain. In which that person he cannot endure, which he cannot bear. I'm just giving you a wide meaning. And then the person after that wishes that he left this world. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the time will come. This world will not come to an end until that time has come. When a person, of course, when Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a person, it doesn't mean just one person. There are many things, places where it is mentioned when a person, so it doesn't mean one person. It means that this, a whole group, a category of people, that means these kind of things will happen, that the person will pass by a grave. He will pass by a grave. And then he will return to the grave. He will return to that grave after passing by. And then he will say, Ya laytani kuntu makana sahiba hadha al-qabr. Oh Allah, I wish I was in place of this person that is in this grave. Because in his opinion that has turned into dust. That person died and he turned to dust, finished in his opinion, that's what he thinks. Or you just think that I wish I was in his place. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَلَيْسَ بِهِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْبَلَىٰ. And it is not going to be because of his deen. Different explanations have been given on what's that. It's not that this person, one is the meaning of deen. Deen, one of its meanings is habit. That means it's not his habit that he normally does that he passes by a grave and then he comes back again and he says that. It's not his habit. It is because of that bala. It's because of that bala that is upon him. Those difficulties in Hajj. And also that bala is not because of his deen. Another meaning of deen. That is not because of habit. And the other meaning of deen is deen. That means this person is not desirous of going into the qabr because of his deen. Like how sometimes if a person passes away and is very pious, very righteous, or the person passed away in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifa, or he passed away at the Rosa Mubarak, or he passed away on a Jummah day or in the month of Ramadan, or the person had a very, very Mubarak mouth on some Mubarak night, And then when we are burying the person and we see the nur on the person's face, then we say, I wish I was in the place of this person. That is a different thing. There is a good desire. But here it's not because of that, but because of mala. This person cannot bear any more the difficulties, hardship and pain. And another explanation has also been given by Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah or some others, other scholars. And that is that this person's deen had already left him. This person, his deen had already left him because of his negligence, because of the statements of kufr, or because of other kinds of things that he indulged in. Now he just wishes, I wish I was in that place. So this bala is a very difficult thing. It's a very dangerous thing. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jahdil bala. As I said, our Shaykh had to teach us this. In a trip in England, 3-4 times I heard this dua from him. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says that here, what it refers to, that what is that bala? Qillatul mal wa kathratul awlad. Qillatul mal first, then kathratul awlad. That you're asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from jahdil bala, that means, oh Allah, if you are giving me children, then also give me plenty of mal, so that I don't have any kind of difficulty in the upbringing of these children, to provide them with shelter, with clothing, with education. The person needs money. So look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam rahmat, asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for mal. So mal is not something that is haram to ask from Allah Ta'ala. But what kind of mal, what kind of wealth? The wealth which is full of barakat, which is halal, which is with the raza and the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That's the kind of mal the person begs. Because when the person has plenty of children, but he hasn't got any mal, so then he may engage in lots of haram activities. Then he will be in great difficulty. Then he may even steal, commit other crimes. How many people, they say, I had to commit the crime because of this or because of that. So this is jahdil bala. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jahdil bala. And why is mal mentioned first? Because he said in the Quran Sharif also, if you look at Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, then when he invited the people and they rejected and they were not prepared to listen under any condition, look at the Surah Nuh. Tafsir of that. So then Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam complained to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that I did this, I did that, I called them day and night, these people just don't want to listen. And then he says, وَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا قُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Again, the gist and meaning, I told them, then make istighfar, turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and beg Him for forgiveness. Don't be proud and arrogant. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Because He is ghaffar. As we were discussing, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Why is He ghafoor? Why is He ghaffar? Because He is also rahim, full of mercy. He is arhamur rahimeen. So he says, I informed them of the sifat of yours, O my beloved Allah, that you are ghaffar, you are most forgiving. So therefore, I seek from you forgiveness. But they refuse to listen. قُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Seek forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Make istighfar, for He is most forgiving. And what will He do if you seek forgiveness from Him? It's not that suddenly His glory will increase and you have benefited Allah Ta'ala greatly by making istighfar. yursil is-samaa'a 'alaykum midrara. Rain was badly required, water was badly needed. He said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send down for you rain in abundance. What is your desire is that the rain must come, the drought must disappear, drought must end, famine must end. So now seek forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the effect of that forgiveness is going to be that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send down for you rain in abundance. Torrential rainfall will come. Rains with barakah. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to send that rain on your istighfar and tawbah. So that rain that will come on your istighfar and tawbah will not come as an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So there will be rahmat in that rainfall, and it's not going to be floods. Are you understanding? That rain can come and cause a lot of damage. Look at the floods. Australia, Sri Lanka, local, here, there, everywhere. But here, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, قُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send down for you rain in abundance. Torrential rainfall also, if it is going to come. But in the light of this ayat, that this rain is going to come because of your istighfar. So your istighfar will become pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that my servants have regretted, they have repented their sins and evil deeds and commissions. They are not happy and bragging about it. They are repenting, they are regretting, expressing remorse, and they are seeking forgiveness from me. So now I'm going to send rain for them. So now this rain which is coming on the strength of that istighfar, now it's going to come with rahmat. That means that rain will come plentiful and will be full of rahmat also and blessing also. يُرْسَلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. There's so much I can say on this. فَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And he will increase you in amwal, wealth and children. So first Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions there that Allah ta'ala will give you wealth also. Therefore the Khaja Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, somebody came to him and complained of that there's drought, there's no rainfall, there's no water. So he said, make istighfar. Somebody else came and the person complained that the person doesn't have children. So he said, make istighfar. He said, make istighfar and tawbah. Somebody complained about something else, he said, make istighfar and tawbah. Wealth he doesn't have, he said, make istighfar and tawbah. So they asked him, don't you have anything else as a prescription, make istighfar. He said, the ayat of the Quran Sharif tells you that, قُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. And he will bestow upon you gardens, and he will bless you with rivers. So there is some kind of khasiyat or some kind of effect in this istighfar. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, therefore here also Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala tells that this is what it means, jahadil wala. Now let's go a little forward. وَدَرْكِ الشَّقَى. This shaqawat, what we term as wretchedness. That we say the person, wretchedness got him. Misfortune got him. The person, we say misfortune got him. Person's life became miserable. Wretchedness got hold of the person. So we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from that. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jahdil bala wa darki shaqa. Oh Allah, don't let this kind of misfortune or wretchedness grip me, get hold of me, overtake me, catch me. And if you look into the Hadith Sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam again, and that famous dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allahumma rahamni bi tarkil ma'asi wa la tushqini bi ma'siyati. Now where was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam going to commit any kind of sin? Allahumma rahamni bi tarkil ma'asi. That means give me that kind of rahmat, O my Allah, which makes me give up sins. That means there's a direct link between sins and shaqawat or wretchedness. Because Allahumma rahamni bi tarkil ma'asi wa la tushqini bi ma'siyati. Because in this ma'siyat, in this sins in, that a person commits, there is that effect of the person becoming wretched. Or the person, what we say, is unfortunate. Or the person, his life becoming miserable. Now all this wretchedness and misery and everything else that comes, the greatest effect in there is of sins. And the only sin that we know is mustn't eat pork, because pork it is haram to eat, and drinking wine is haram. For those who are pious, or pretending pious like us, then that's all, two or three things, zina, and wine, and pork. Besides that, look at what we do in our businesses, in our homes, in our life. How much of indulgence and engagement in different kinds of sins. And especially in this age of technology, where the music is now in our pockets, where the films are in our pockets, where the porn sites are in our pockets, where the cinemas and discos and theaters are in our pockets, where zina and adultery and fornication and music and everything is in our pocket. One press of a button and you can watch, one press of a button and you can listen. At such a time, what kind of sins the ummah at large, including us, we engage in. And then we say there's wretchedness, then we say there's so much of bala, so much of difficulties and hardships and problems. So therefore the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching about dharki shaqa. And when the person will give up sins, make plenty of istighfar and tawbah for those sins, pledge to Allah Ta'ala is not going to return to them, fulfill the rights of people if they have been harmed. Accidental sins again, make plenty of tawbah, don't lose hope, because Allah Ta'ala has said, وَلَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. So then this person will then enjoy a kind of sukoon in his heart. Then he will enjoy that sukoon, he won't be wretched. In the sickness and pain also he will have a sukoon in his heart. Such a kind of sukoon that only he will know. Outside there will be pain. The person will make ha and woo and everything else. But inside the heart, that it is my Allah. It is from my Allah. It is from my beloved. So, وَدَرْكِ الشَّقَى فَسُّوءِ الْقَضَى. Now when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes any kind of decision that Allah ta'ala makes, what we term as fate and destiny and everything else, then in Allah ta'ala's decision there's no such thing as su. Allah ta'ala in his decision there's no evil in there. And there's no harm. It is like a judge that is saying that this person who committed murder, he must go to prison now for life. Now in the decision that the judge made, it's not evil. Because the person committed murder, so now he must go for life or he must be executed. But for that person who's going to go for life now, there is definitely a lot of difficulty and hardship and pain and suffering that he's going to go through. So here we are saying, O Allah, even if that decision which you have made for us, which is outwardly su, evil for us, but we know that your decisions, that there's nothing but khair in it. Whatever you decide is nothing but full of justice and full of wisdom. However, for the as far as we are concerned, if that decision is made that this person must suffer this difficulty or that trial or that tribulation or that kind of azab, So for that person, it's going to be a lot of pain and suffering. So he's asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, فَسُوءِ الْقَضَى. That, oh Allah, we seek protection in front of you from سُوءِ الْقَضَى. That is, even if you have decided, even if you have made a decision that because of our weaknesses, our sins, or whatever it may be, you have made a decision that this is what now this person has to go through or suffer, or this is his destiny now, then you are all powerful. The destiny, it is your decision which you can change. The decision is not malik over you. The decision is made by you. So it's not like us who are weak. The judge in the court, he can't make a decision on his own. He has to go by the constitution. And if somebody has to ask him that, why did you make this decision, the judge will say, well, that's what the constitution says. That means he is not all powerful and supreme. He has to listen to what the government says. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is maliki yawmiddin. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is the master of the day of judgment. That means there is nobody's hukam that will be above him. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now has to go by the law. Allah ta'ala has to follow some constitution. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's prerogative. He will forgive whomsoever he wishes to. For which amal he forgives also, we do not know. One muhaddith, he did so much. And after that somebody saw him in the dream. That how did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgive you? Now all the works of deen that he had done, he didn't mention anything of that. He says, my forgiveness came. Because after a person passes away sometime, his position is shown what it will be in the hereafter. So he said, my forgiveness was that whilst I was writing, and in those days I used to write with the pens that were made of wood, I used to chop and chip and make pens as it is even now in India, they use that, and many other places. And they dip in the ink and they write. So he says, when I dipped my pen in the ink and I picked it up, one fly came and sat down on the ink. And it appeared to me as if this fly is very thirsty. So I stopped my pen there and I didn't write until the fly left the pen. So on that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgive. Now what amal and what forgive? Those other incidents which you know so well, there are so many like that. So therefore we cannot say on which amal Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive whom. So there is no constitution following this. Allah Ta'ala is Malik of Yawmiddin. So, وَدَرْكِ الشَّقَى وَسُوءِ الْقَضَى. So, we ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to change it to Husn-e Qada. Even if it is Su'e Qada, which is definitely Allah Ta'ala's Adal, Allah Ta'ala's justice, and Allah Ta'ala is fair. There is no such thing as injustice of any kind, but then to say, change it to Husn-e Qada. Make a decision which will be, for us will be something full of khair. Otherwise, every decision of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there's nothing but khair in it. وَشَمَاتَتِ الْأَعْدَى. Now, each one of these things we can go on discussing for many, many hours with Allah ta'ala's fazal, if He puts the thoughts in the mind. وَشَمَاتَتِ الْأَعْدَى. But what's the purpose of listening to too much and after that we make no amal? In this world, when a person invites towards good, makes amar bil ma'roof and makes nahi anil munkar, then there will be critics. Of course, that amar bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar also must be done with hikmah, with wisdom. It must be not like what I have said many times, taking a brick and throwing at somebody's head and saying, I'm doing amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. You have to see the situation. You have to see the person. You cannot say the same thing to everybody. If a person is not close to you, he doesn't have any kind of love for you, he doesn't have any kind of munasabat with you, any kind of compatibility, the person is a stranger, and you just go and start making amar bil maruf there, giving harsh words and nasihats, that person will distance himself. Instead of coming close, the person may swear you and go far away. There are many a times when the person doesn't have to say anything. Deep-hearted dua he has to make for the person. And Sometimes he has to say something, but the words also must be such. Look at Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Harun. They are sent to Fir'aun, the worst of all at that time is Fir'aun. And Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, at that time they were the closest to Allah. And they are told, وَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ وَيَخْشَى. Speak to them politely. Speak to Fir'aun. Speak to Fir'aun politely. Don't be harsh and hard. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَزًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَانْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were harsh and hard-hearted, they would have all dispersed from around. So it just depends on who you are speaking to, what the condition is. As I mentioned in some bayan of mine, there was one great alim when he went to America. So there, that masjid that he went, were all youngsters near our own college. So all of them were wearing the tight jeans and tight shirt and tight-fitting shirts. Now, one person like us must have had his kurta pajama. So now he thought, I'm very pious and righteous. So he wanted to embarrass all these students. So he's asking them, Maulana, in that bayan. So Maulana, ye log jo tang libas, or chust libas pehenkar masjid ke andar aate hai, uske baare mein kya fatwa hai? What is the fatwa with regards to these people that come with tight-fitting clothes? Now we all know that you should not wear such kind of clothes. But at that time, for those students who are just coming now close to Deen in that kind of environment and in America again, so he said, unko double sawab milta hai. So he said, Maulana, Ajeeb, he said, how can they get double sawab? He said, haan, isliye ke wo ruku sajde mein jaate hai, to unko badi takleef hoti hai. Isliye unka sawab bhi double ho jata hai. When they go into ruku and sajda, they go with great difficulty because very tight jeans and pants. So because of the difficulty that they have to endure, they get double sawab. Now that wasn't a fatwa or anything. But for the occasion now, and afterwards he explained to that person, that was not the right thing to say at that time. So hikmat in our amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. Harsh language, foul language, swearing, cursing, condemning everybody to hell. Will that bring anybody close to Islam? And then we will get happy, I did amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. In India, in one village, one young alim qualified and came. And after he qualified and came, now he went, people were playing banjo, guitar. Now that was the lifestyle. There was no alim there before that. So when he saw them playing guitar, he came there. Now he's got no munasabat with them. It's the first day that he's arriving there. He said, I'm going to put a stop to all this haram that's taking place here. So he went. And he told them, the guitar is haram. The music is haram. This is haram. Before even bringing them close to Deen, he was saying, this is haram, haram. They took that same guitar and hit on his head. The same guitar, they broke it on his head. And it's a true incident. So then he came back and he said, I'm not going to that village. He left that village. He went back to his ustad and he said, I went to make Amar bin Maruf Nahi and Munkar. Those people are terrible. He said, they beat me up. Broke the guitar on my head. So the ustad said, hey, is this the way to make Amar bil Maruf Nahi Anil Munkar, invite towards good and provative? Now you come with me. And he went with him again after. And that alim that went, he told me himself, he said, this time when we went there, so I stayed there for a few days. And every time we go, we meet them, how are you? Is that? Bring them close a little bit, with muhabbat, with love, and then explain something about Deen, Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Akhirat, Jannat, Jahannam. Those same people came into the masjid, gave up their ego. So there is a method, but in any case, besides Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar also, tauntings, jeering, laughing, mocking, teasing by enemies, it hurts a person. It's natural, it will hurt. It's a different thing that the person won't take revenge if he's an Allah wala. But it is natural, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was hurt. But of course their hurt is different. That I'm inviting this person towards deen, towards jannah, towards akhirah, towards Allah ta'ala's muhabbat, and this person, this is how he's behaving. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what was his hurt? It was just that these people, I'm inviting them towards jannah, towards Allah ta'ala's marifat and yaqeen and muhabbat. And if they're going to behave like this and reject, they're going to go to jahannam. So that was his concern. So therefore, shamatatil aada. Ya Allah, we are seeking protection in you from all this criticism and curses and lashings and all kinds of backbiting and words and statements and writings which cause hurt from the enemy. I'm giving you an explanation. So you're asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from them. Allah ta'ala's protection. Now if this dua is accepted, then thereafter if the person is still suffering some difficulties, some problems, some pain, or some poverty, or the person is still going through some kind of criticism of people, or some other difficulty, then the person must truly believe that this is now rahmat and mercy. So if he's going to believe then that it is rahmat and mercy, then he's going to give him sukoon in his heart. But of course these duas, they go together as a package, as I always say, it's a package. People learn the duas and they say, we made so much dua and finished. Nothing happened. Lots of things will happen. But with the dua, there must be namaz, there must be roza, zakat, there must be hajj. There must be honesty, there must be truthfulness, there must be halal earning and livelihood, rizq halal, which is so important. Now with these type of things in his life, fulfillment of rights, then make these duas and see that if there's a difficulty, Allah Ta'ala will find a way out. If there's pain and suffering, Allah Ta'ala will give sukoon in the heart and sabr in the heart, together with the medication, but the person will still have sabr in his heart. And if there's poverty also, the person will still look at all those people who do not even have that much what he has, and still give him sukoon in his heart. There's so much of things that Nabi alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in this one little dua. So just as we discussed, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Then how long does it take if the person, don't wait for imams. Our own duas. Not necessary always after the namaz also. Person goes on his bed and makes these duas. Person gets up in the morning and makes the dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jahdil bala. Say it. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jahdil bala. Wa darki shaqa. Wa su'il qada. Wa shamatatil a'da. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat, protect us from all kinds of bala, difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must not test us and try us because we are extremely weak servants. And we acknowledge that we are the worst. We are the worst of sinners on the surface of the earth. We are not bragging about any piety and taqwa. So therefore we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that out of His kindness, mercy and ihsan, not on the strength of any kind of ibadah, zikr, tilawat, that He must remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, suffering of the ummah around the world. Ihtiraf of qusur, ihtiraf, acknowledgement of weakness. I conclude, kabhi ta'ato ka sarur hai, kabhi ta'ato ka sarur hai, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai, kabhi ta'ato ka sarur hai, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai, hai malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzur mera huzur hai, na wo zauq hai, na wo shauq hai, na wo kaif hai, na surur hai. ہر ایک چیز ہی بے مزہ جو نظر سے اپنی تو دور ہے. نہ وہ ذوق ہے نہ وہ شوق ہے نہ وہ کیف ہے نہ سرور ہے. نہ وہ ذوق ہے نہ وہ شوق ہے نہ وہ کیف ہے نہ سرور ہے. ہر ایک چیز ہی بے مزہ جو نظر سے اپنی تو دور ہے. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهل البلاء وترك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اے رب کریم ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا ذا الجلال والاکرام مائی بلاول اللہ مائی رحیم اللہ کریم موز فگیونگ اللہ موز کمپیشنر موز لونگ موز کیئرنگ اللہ فگیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون آف اس. وی آر اشیمڈ آف دا سنز دیٹ وی ہیو کمیٹڈ ان آور لائفز. دیر از نو ون فار اس بیسائڈز یو مائی بلاول اللہ. تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں, تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا نہیں. مجھ کو جینے کا سہارا چاہیے, غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے. جینے کا سہارا چاہیے, غم تمہارا دل ہمارا چاہیے. بحر الفت کا کنارا چاہیے, سر ہمارا در تمہارا چاہیے. Lord Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly and in the light of great darkness of night. Bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Rabbi Kareem, take us on the path that leads to you, the road that leads to Jannat, the road that leads to Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Distance us from the road that leads to hellfire. We acknowledge that it is because of our sin that there is so much of suffering. Ey Rabbi Kareem, forgive us, forgive the ummah of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive entire mankind. Remove the difficulties, the pain, the suffering of the entire mankind around the globe. Wherever there is droughts, there is floods, there is famine, where there has been destruction due to bomb blasts. Ey Rabbi Kareem, where there has been destruction due to fighting and wars and battles, where there has been destruction due to earthquakes and tremors, Ey Rabbi Kareem, remove the pain and suffering of the people. Allahumma arham ummata sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma tajawaz an ummata sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم اغفر أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. My beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you. اللهم إنك عفو رحيم كريم تحب العفو عنا يا كريم. Bless us all with good health. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals, in clinics, amongst us, wherever they may be, bless them with complete shifa. We are sick and ailing, my beloved Allah, spiritually sick, physically. So many in our families are sick and ailing. So many of our friends, our mashayikh, Ay Rabbi Kareem, jo bhi bimar hai, unko sehat tamma, kamila, ajila, daima, naseeb farma. Ay Rabbi Kareem, even if it is in the form of rahmat, change it to the rahmat of good health. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove the suffering with plentiful of halal risk. Those who are on journeys, make them reach their destination safely. Bless us with the hearts that you give to the awliya-i siddiqeen. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi, har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. My beloved Allah, there is no tamanna besides that you become ours. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Blessed barakat in our homes, in our life, in our times. Make our children make pious, salih, make them the coolness of our eyes. Blessed with success, my beloved Allah, in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirah. Except all the works of deen that are taking place. Honi wale ijtima ko be intiha kamiyab farma. Madaris, masajid, anqao ko qubool farma. Jitne bhi deeni anjuman hai, sab ko qubool farma. Batil ke addo ko khatam farma. Ay Rabbe Kareem, guna ke addo ko khatam farma. Ummat ke andar ittihad aur ittifaq paida farma. Unite the hearts of the ummat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ay Rabbe Kareem, the Muslim countries of the world, give them governments that will establish Islamic law. Bless them with stability, Ay Rabbi Kareem. Unke jagdo ko aur fitno ko aur fasad ko khatam farma. Save them and protect them from the scheming and the plotting and the planning of the enemies of Islam. Ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai, bless us with death in Madina tayyiba, burial in Baqi. It is not destined there, wherever it may be, that it is in a state that you are pleased with us. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that we ask for protection, protect us. And the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul qadeem. فتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا مولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.